The Feed.
Hello and welcome to episode 91 of The Feed, the official Libsyn podcast, the podcast that takes it beyond how to podcast into keeping you podcasting with podcasting tips and information for the everyday podcaster and taking you inside Libsyn, the largest podcast host and distribution network since 2004. Hello, my name is Elsie Escobar, and I am the podcaster happiness expert over at Libsyn, otherwise known as the community manager. So essentially, you communicate with me every time that you @reply Libsyn on Twitter or send the Libsyn Facebook page a private message, and I'm the one that's retweeting and liking your stuff because I love you. But enough of this love fest. Let's get on with this substantial episode that will cover how the internet broke because of a typo. Beginning to touch on Project Orange, podcast app updates that we love, diving into the hashtag tripod initiative, questions about having your own app, awesome audio feedback, and OMG. We get a super awesome soapbox on SEO and your RSS feed. And of course, stats and more. As you can hear, so much to cover. So let's get going on this thing. Here is our very first promo of this episode, DigiDex.
Want to know what top titles from film and TV are hitting home video this week? Hi, I'm TC Kirkham of Subject Cinema, inviting you to check out Tuesday DigiDex, our weekly roundup of all the new home video releases in the U.S. each week. Whether it's DVD, Blu-ray, or streaming you're looking for, we've got it covered. Tuesday DigiDex, every Tuesday morning, from Subject Cinema at eCinema1.com, a PNR Networks podcast powered by Libsyn. Subscribe on iTunes or your favorite podcast service.
As you all know, I hope, we have just released our new podcast pages. Yay! And the reason I'm bringing this up is because I want you guys to know that there are key places that you can get all of the information that you absolutely need to either migrate from the old podcast page to the new podcast page or for you to set up your podcast page, period. If you go over to support.libsyn.com/FAQs and search for new podcast page, you will find all the tutorials that you need right there. If you don't want to search, you can start to scan through destinations. That is a category, and you can easily browse through those, just skimming through and then find what you want. If you are inside your Libsyn dashboard, we have a super cool Walk Me widget, which is generally on the right, bottom right-hand side of your screen, that will walk you through step by step on how to do what you want to do. So right within the dashboard, it actually walks you through. If you decide to start doing it and you have something else to do and you want to come back, it will absolutely remember and take you through till the end. And lastly, if the first mention, so the things I just mentioned, still leave questions, feel free to email support@libsyn.com. They're always there for you. All the information referenced here will, of course, be linked in the show notes as always. And now let's hear from our second promo of the episode, Sustainable Living.
Hi, everyone. This is Janice Fryett.
And this is Mariana West. And we are the Sustainable Living Podcast.
And we talk about homesteading, permaculture, zero waste, self-sufficiency.
All kinds of stuff which have to do with sustainable living. Sometimes it's just Janice and I talking and having a good time. We laugh a lot, though. Be warned.
A lot of time it's us doing interviews with some of the most forward thinkers you are going to find on the planet.
Join us.
Yeah, join us on the Sustainable Living Podcast. We'd love to have you.
How do you get your promo featured on the show? Super easy. Email thefeed@libsyn.com and send me your 30-second or less audio promo. There are no guidelines other than you need to keep it clean and around 30 seconds. That's it. Now, we also have another type of promotion. Before I tell you about it, I'm going to let How Hits Made give you the scoop on his Rockin' Libsyn podcast.
Hello. Hi.
My name is Chris Pizzillo, and I'm the co-founder of the online music platform Play Too Much. I'm also the executive producer of the podcast How It's Made, along with Sarah Weber and our script supervisor, editor, and narrator, Billy Donahoe. We started working on this podcast in the fall of 2015. We started gathering audio on Halloween of 2015 and did our last recorded interview in October of 2016. So the production process of this podcast was a full year. We started podcasting because we're huge fans of podcasts, and ultimately we wanted to create the podcast that we always wanted to hear. Our show is the real story about what it takes to make it in the music industry as a band. We documented the process of an indie buzz band from New York City called Great Caesar, and we recorded them for a year on their quest to writing a hit song. We also captured the interviews with people that work in the music industry to get their perspective on what they think it takes to make it as well. For our field recordings, we used the Tascam DR40, a portable field recorder. That's what I'm using right now. We were able to use that to capture on-the-fly interviews and John Michael Parker's songwriting process. We edited the podcast in Audacity and did a few interviews at a pro recording studio in New York City called Refuge Recording. We used Libsyn to upload it, and our site Play Too Much as a means to promote and distribute the podcast. Promoting is definitely an ongoing battle. We've been able to make it into the top 30 of the iTunes music charts, which is a huge accomplishment for us. And our goal overall is to get into the top 10 iTunes podcast charts. We promoted it heavily through social media, so we were posting in Facebook groups, to our personal individual Facebook pages, to the band's Facebook page, on Twitter and Twitter groups, Instagram, Reddit. We would go to local concerts, which we're still doing. We put stickers around New York City. We give out buttons and pins around New York City. We've also created a lot of original videos, like unique original videos and trailers to promote the podcast. So every little thing helps. What do you know now that you wish you knew when you started? Probably how important pre-production is for a project like this. If Chris from today was talking to Chris from a year ago, I definitely would have told myself to transcribe all of my interview audio immediately. The biggest challenge in creating an audio documentary podcast like this one is being able to reference every soundbite when you're working on a script and when you're trying to put together an honest story based on the audio that you've recorded. We've got, you know, well over 40 hours of audio that we captured, which is a ton to go through. So definitely being able to transcribe all that would have been very helpful early on. For promotional purposes, if people want to check out the podcast, please go to iTunes or Stitcher and search How It's Made. If you want to check it out on a computer, you can go to playtoomuch.com, playtoomuch.com/how-hits made. The best way to find us is on social media at We Play Too Much. Yeah, and I would love your support and listening. Parts 1 and 2 are available now. Part 3 is available on January 5th, and Part 4 will be available on January 12th.
Isn't it nice to hear from producers on the show like this? Come on, it's so cool. Now that said, you can totally be a Rockin' Libsyn podcaster. The Rockin' Libsyn podcast series is primarily a blog feature. Every Monday, we feature a producer that hosts his media with Libsyn and shares podcasting insight on the Libsyn blog. That is all. If you want to do a little bit more, in addition to the text that you will get to me, you can also record an audio version of your answers. Not required, but it's nice. And you kind of heard what that sounds like just a few minutes ago. So what do you need? All you need to do again is just to email thefeed@libsyn.com and ask to be a Rockin' Libsyn podcast. I will respond and we'll take it from there. Please note, all features, the blog, and the promos are featured on a first-come, first-served basis to keep things fair and for me to stay organized because, come on, it's a lot of you guys. So I cannot wait to get your stuff. So get on it, get it to me right away, and we can get you all scheduled up. And now, on to the main chunk of our content, my conversation with Rob Walsh, the VP of Podcaster Relations at Libsyn. And this one, my goodness, this one's a goodie. Right after our last promo of the episode, The Blood Drawn Chronicles.
In a world where vampires secretly rule our society, one man not born of this world threatens everything that draws the vampire nation together. We invite you to join us as we continue the epic journey in the life of Myrick Meyerson, in The Blood Drawn Chronicles, Season 2, The Ballad of House M.
Hi, Rob.
Good generic time of the day, Elsie.
Ah, it's So good to have you home. I'm home. You're home. We've been, you know, out and about, which we'll talk about later. But yay.
Right. Yes. Everybody's almost home. Didn't get home. Got lucky.
Got lucky.
Always
getting
take,
home.
Always take the early flight when you can.
Oh, so nice. All those kind of crazy tips. But so we had some really funky things happening this week. I mean, especially how the internet basically broke, correct?
Right, right. And if you're saying, what? The internet broke? Then you're hosting with Libsyn. Because S3 outage did not affect Libsyn, affect Libsyn users or consumers at all. That is because we do not use S3 for our delivery or file hosting. However, some others do, and they had outages either with everything or file uploads. Not us. All was fine and dandy with Libsyn during the outage. And this internet broke because of a typo.
What?
Yeah, Amazon said an employee on their S3 team entered a wrong command and took down a whole bunch of servers.
Oh, no.
Oopsie.
No.
Yes. Libsyn uses much more reliable CDNs for our backbone and with a lot more nodes around the world than S3, meaning a lot faster delivery to end users. Heck, even Amazon hosts their podcast with us instead of on S3. Just saying.
You know what's really crazy? I mean, it's for me, I was kind of shocked by the amount of companies that use them, though. Holy crap. Like, so I use Buffer as one of our – Buffer and Edgar actually were both affected. And both of those companies are the ones that are the social media people who kind of like – you know, they're the ones that help me manage the posts and all that kind of stuff for Libsyn, as well as for myself and for She Podcasts. And in Buffer, I couldn't upload any images. And I was like, what is happening? What's happening here? And also anything that was hosted with, I think, Edgar, I think that there was something that was happening there. Because again, it's all about the images, Rob. Mm-hmm. A lot of different apps, just plain old apps like scheduling apps also, you know, like if you send a link to somebody because they want to schedule time with you, a lot of those apps host their images for the apps themselves at an Amazon S3. So because that was happening, those links were not working and therefore the entire process broke. It was crazy. All the stuff that was breaking.
And there was a bunch of tier two podcast hosts that use S3. And that's how you can tell if they're tier two. Are they on S3?
You see that? So anyway, sorry guys, you had that, and also, you know, when it affected some people that were using services like Zoom, I know Zoom was affected because the people tend to use or have started to use services like Zoom to record conversations instead of using Skype. So they also were unable to use it. So yeah, sorry guys, but we were fine.
Yeah, we don't have anything to say sorry about.
That's right. I know.
You're welcome, guys. You're welcome.
You're welcome, guys. But sorry that you had troubles with your other stuffs, is what I'm saying. So there's some talk out there that Sirius Satellite is doing some, you know, podcasting stuff.
Yeah, it's called Project Orange. It's a new podcast destination site service from Sirius. I guess they're trying to plan for life without Howard.
Oh, life without Howard is tough.
Yes. Lots of info and misinfo on this offering are out there from posts I've seen pop up already. This looks to be a lot like Google Play Music and Spotify in that they pull a single copy and then rehost it. We're going to actually go over this in greater detail in the next episode. My recommendation for now is hold off until the next episode of the feed, episode 92, before doing anything. I should have a bunch more info for you that's accurate, and that's all I can say at this point.
Right. Very, very cool. All right. Well, then moving on. So there were a couple of updates that happened this week that impacted podcast listeners, at least the kind that I am.
Right.
Both for Castro 2 and for Overcast. So do you want to chat a little bit
I'll
about
take
Overcast?
Overcast, yeah. And then you can take your baby Castro.
Okay.
You know, I'm really, really liking the redesign of Overcast, the swipe to get the audio controls. You know, Marco basically really updated it to take advantage of the new iOS 10 UI. And he just makes it easy to consume content. He gets it. One thing you'll not find in version 3 of Overcast, which is what it is now, is a recommendation engine. It has always been a great app to consume the content that you know you want to consume, as it should be. Nothing is being forced down your ear holes. So, Marco, thank you for keeping it great.
Yeah. I don't use it enough to really have that much to say about it, but I do know this, that it's what I use when I am consuming a one-off here and there for a podcast that I know I'm not going to subscribe to. So it's probably, it's the, my go-to for listening to a standalone episode from a podcast that I absolutely know 100% I'm not going to subscribe to. Usually those are the ones that I have in there because I go into it so rarely that I forget. So there's, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh, but I do, but that's where I go in it. And it is seamless integration for going in there as well. Now, in terms of Castro and the way, and the reason that I really like it is because I can very easily field my consumption and move it up and down. It's just it's a different kind of setup. I like the fact that, so basically these are the two things that came up for Castro. Castro now is using notification. So whenever a new episode comes in, you'll get a notification. Of course, you don't have to get them, but it's nice. You'll get the notification come in and you can immediately triage it. So you can say like, oh, the latest episode of The Feed is up and they're talking about, I don't know, we're going to be talking about SEO for podcasters and things like that in this later on in the episode. And if you're like, oh, that's just not a topic I'm into, you can very easily archive it, or you can very easily play it next, like that in the top of your list. And I think that that's super handy, especially when you're going in there to properly decide what you want to do. And another thing that they've done is that, but I'm sure that this is not very good for some people who are doing ads. But what you can do for now is that whenever you get to about less than 3 minutes on an episode, you will get a little pop-up notification to see if you are kind of, if you want it to be done. Like mark it as done and move on to the next one. Because usually the last 3 minutes of a lot of episodes, sort of like the Tim Ferriss podcast, is absolutely all ads. The last, three or more minutes sometimes. So if he's done and you want to skip all that, you could just very easily play next and you're done. I think that's kind of cool. So that's actually keyed in for the listener. I mean, you know, for the consumer, not for somebody who's trying to sell you things. And I'm also, you know, I put a screencast here because I shared the Overcast and the Castro thing on the Libsyn page. And I think I'm getting people converted to Castro. So I'm very excited.
You are.
I know.
So you are a Castro evangelical.
I am. It's just so easy. It's so easy for me to go in and go like, oh my gosh, I have 15 new episodes. And in reality, I'm only going to be able to listen to two. But I really love these shows and I do not want to not subscribe to these. So really fast, I can archive 10 or archive 7 and download 3 and done. And then if I want to listen to them later, I can just go back and get them. So that is all. We are going to say congratulations to Keith and the girl on their 12th anniversary. Yay!
Congratulations, Keith.
Yes, we just wanted to shout out because 12, man, it's getting up there. Mm-hmm. I mean, can you imagine, what were you doing 12 years ago, Rob?
Interviewing Keith and the girl for Podcast 411.
Yeah, because you start to think about like that. You're 12 years older. I mean, not to bring that into the thing, but you know, but like 12 years ago, I didn't even have an inkling in my head that I would have two children, like at all. Zippo. So kudos to you for sticking to one thing, Keith and the girl, Keith and Hemda. Thank you so much. So you guys should go shout out to them and say congratulations on your milestone because you've been doing this for how many thousands of episodes now? Thousands of episodes. So, Rob, do you want to talk to us about this new tripod campaign? Hashtag tripod. It seems like we've been getting some stuff out there in the social media world.
So if you're a Libsyn customer, you should have received an email blast from us on the 1st of March, kicking off the hashtag tripod promotion campaign. And that, in that email, it said, quote, ask your audience to use the hashtag pound tripod when sharing their favorite podcasts and episodes on social media during the month of March. Let's see if we can get grow everyone's audience want to get a little extra promotion, create a special hashtag for your show that your audience can use along with the Pound Tripod and social media, and your show could be featured on Libsyn's The Feed. Email Rob at libsyn.com to tell us what special hashtag is for your show, unquote. And so to clear things up here, you are promoting two hashtags. One is Pound Tripod, and the other one is, that's the one everyone's actually going to be using, that's participating in, and that will be promoting. So everyone's using the hashtag Tripod, Pound Tripod. And then the second one will be your own personal hashtag that's just for your show, so we can see how well some of you are doing in social media. And you are to email me with your personal hashtag and let me know once you actually start promoting this. And the first one to reply was Elaine Flucker from, boy, you do not want to say her name too fast, host of the Support is Sexy podcast for women entrepreneurs. Her personal hashtag is Pound Tripod Sexy. So that means she's promoting both Pound Tripod and Pound Tripod Sexy. The folks at I Know Dino are promoting Pound I Know Dino along with Pound Tripod. And the folks at Cinema Bun, I love the name of that one.
Cinema Bun. That's
Cinema great. Bun. I know. That's classic lawyer contact coming in three. anyway, Cinema Bun, they are promoting Pound Cinema Bun along with Pound Tripod. And those were the first three that came in. And I've gotten many more others already replying in as well, saying that they'll be looking to pushing that out. So, yeah, just fantastic. Let me know.
Yay. I know it seems to be picking up steam here. So hopefully it would be awesome if we were like the loudest in this campaign, all the indie podcasters bringing it up for everybody else.
When you promote it, try not to just do it in the post roll or just the pre-roll. Try to put it in the middle of your episode a little bit where people are going to be listening and engaged.
Yep. Absolutely.
If possible, but you can put it anywhere in your show you want. Just get it. It's a little more effective in the middle.
All right, are you ready to go into our email bag? We have tons of stuff here today. So
yes.
All right, here we go. All right, go, generic time of the day, Elsie and Rob. I'll admit I'm way late on the have your own app train, but you almost have me sold. I have one question. If you tell listeners to download your app, I would think they'd unsubscribe from iTunes, where most of my audience comes from. If I do that, won't that hurt my rankings in the top charts? I legitimately hear from listeners that they found me because of the top charts and want to stay as high as possible. What do you think about this? Please don't rip me a new one. Thanks, Justin. He knows you well, Rob. He knows you well.
Hi, Justin. The top 200 show charts have nothing, zip, nada, bupkis, to do with the old active slash active subscribers. It is all 100% about the total number of new subscribers in the past 7 days, with a weighted average for the last 24, 48, and 72 hours. The top episode list, if you make it in that will be affected by where people are consuming the most recent episode. So that list would likely be affected a little. But again, the top 200 list is for shows that are out there that will not be affected, nor will your search placement, which is based on the total number of subscribers all time to your show. So really, it's not about people unsubscribing from iTunes anyway. It's really about them just starting to consume in another platform, and then the subscription just kind of stops downloading automatically after five episodes. But in any case, it will not affect you in the top 200 list. It will not affect you in the search results, because once you get that subscriber, you've got that juice forever.
Yeah.
So, well, we got another email here too that kind of follows
can
on
I
this.
Talk about that? Okay. Good generic time of the day. Do you have the numbers on people that use individual apps? This is my last question before I get an app for my podcast, because I know iTunes is a big thing, but I need to know an estimate of how many people use the application. When?
It sounds like we got people on the fence teetering. We got to push.
No.
Okay. So the latest numbers show that at the end of 2016, there were over 2 billion people each month downloading apps from the app stores. The big three app stores being Apple's App Store, Google Play App Store, and the Amazon App Store. There are about 100 million people downloading podcasts each month. So that's a 20 times more people that are downloading apps than are downloading podcasts each month. If you want to be where the people are at, get an app. It's really that simple. Having an app for your show as standalone gives you the ability to be stumbled upon by 20 times more people that may stumble upon you as a podcast. Per how many use the individual apps? We've had multiple millions of individuals, unique individuals, download individual apps from our apps. Of course, all the shows. Mark Maron's app alone, over a year ago when I last checked his numbers, had been downloaded by over 250,000 unique individuals. So the short answer is millions have downloaded individual podcast apps and billions are downloading apps each month. Enough said. Win. I hope that pushed you off the fence. In the right direction.
In the right direction. Now, you know, this is something that I talked about this a lot, actually, when we were at PodFest, is that, you know, the expectations around the apps are also really reflect your ability to sell your product as well. I mean, it's part of it. People aren't just going to all of a sudden get an app because they just found you. You really have to tell your audience about it. You do have to promote it in the same way that you do everything else. Things don't just magically happen. It's easier for people to get it. That's like the key right there is that if you tell somebody, hey, download my app, it's easier for them to, if they don't know about podcasts, it's easier to say then download my podcast, because usually for download my podcast, there is a couple of steps that are involved. Most people already know how to download apps. So that's kind of taken out of the description. And something that people have done, I don't know, have you done this? I think maybe you have done this, Rob. I know that there's people that have done this while they were presenting on stage or doing something like that. And they basically say, you can get my app. In fact, you can get it right now. And then, mm-hmm. and then you oh, yeah. basically just say, go get it, go into the app store and look for this. And then you can download it right away. It's a little bit more challenging. You do that on stage when you don't have an app, because there are other,
you know
what I mean?
I walked into the audience. I've taken somebody's phone and I have downloaded my app on a person's phone in a presentation before.
Yep.
And to show how easy it is.
Yep. So it is a little bit easier for that, because usually
don't ask, just do.
Just do it. Just do it. So there's that. That could also be a thing. So really, the question when, and I think also for Justin that would come into play with this stuff, is that number one, Justin, people aren't going to go unsubscribe. It's really like, I don't ever go in somewhere and unsubscribe. I almost never have. I just stop getting their stuff. You know, it's like not something that I do. It's just like, why? I just don't listen. But I don't unsubscribe. So they're probably getting, you're going to get that. And once you have a subscriber for life, even if they unsubscribe. Now,
and let me just say this. Mm-hmm. I firmly believe this. Having an app is more important than having a website. Right? I'm not saying having a website's not important, but I'm saying having an app is more important than having a website. You're going to get more people consume your content from your app than will ever consume at your website. I think I looked at a recent episode. I had like 3,500 people download the episode and consume it on my app. I had that same episode. I had 60 people consume it at my website.
Wow. That's pretty interesting. Yeah. All right. So if you have any other questions, please email us thefeed@libsyn.com. And download our app. That would be awesome. All right. So what is March 1st, Rob? It seems you're asking me here in my notes, in our notes. Do you know what March 1st was? I don't know.
And Elsie, well, if you lived in Arlington, Texas, it was Gary Leland Day, at least according to the mayor of Arlington. So congrats to Gary Leland for that awesome recognition in the city of Arlington. And yes, it was all about Gary's contributions to the podcast space.
That's crazy. You know, I had a picture taken with him. So am I famous by, you know, just by being near him?
In Arlington, you are.
Well, there you have it. I can just, you know, I should just go on like all the Arlington websites and say, look who I had got my picture taken with. So yeah, congrats, Gary. Yay. Yeah. And Gary, thanks for listening to our show now. All right. So we have our first audio question, and this one is from Carrie Green.
Good generic time of the day, Rob and Elsie. This is Carrie Green from Podcast Fast Track and the Podcastification Podcast. Man, that was a lot of words. I have a question for you about something you were discussing in the last episode of The Feed. You were saying something in answer to a listener question about setting up a player that shows the most recent episode of a podcast. Well, I have a related question. I went into the destinations like you suggested, and I've been playing around with a little bit, and I'm a little hesitant to create something because I'm not exactly sure what I'm doing. So I thought I would just ask you guys. And here's my question. I would love to set up a player that shows multiple episodes. So I guess I'm saying the feature that shows the playlist functionality. But I would like to be able to select which episodes are in that playlist. The reason I'm saying that is because in one of my podcasts, Live, Build, Change, I do two different types of episodes. One that is a weekly longer episode and another that is a daily 5-minute morning mindset kind of an episode. And I would love to set up a player that just has those morning mindset episodes so that I could just include that on a page where the morning mindset is on my website. And that's it. I don't have to put, you know, bazillions of links to 365 episodes. I can just have one player where people can scroll through it. So my question, is there a way to do it? And I guess follow-up question is, if so, can you tell me how? Thanks so much, man. I appreciate what you guys do for podcasting. And I know the two of you are going to make it a podcastificating day.
Carrie, thank you for the voicemail message. And per your questions, yes, you can do that. With Libsyn, we have the ability to do a playlist for the player, and it will let you do exactly what you want to do, where you can pick a specific category. So to set it up, first you need to add a category to each episode. When you are publishing Libsyn, you have the option to add a single category for each episode. This is one of the places that the category is used. So if you ever wondered what that little category was in there, now you know. Once you have all your episodes set up with the category you want, and if you don't have the category you want, you have to go into each episode and pick it and then click publish again. It doesn't republish, it just saves the changes. Next, go to destinations and then set up your media player to be the custom player, and then make sure you have render playlists selected and set the height to at least 250 pixels. It has to be 250 pixels minimum height on that. It's a requirement for this. Select playback direction to be from newest to oldest, then save the changes. Then in the destinations, click on get embed code for the player. And now at the top, you will see category filter with a drop-down list. From the drop-down list, select the category you want, then copy the embed code, place that on your site, and done. And then repeat these steps for any other categories, for any other sites. Yes, you can have many different players embedded and live at once on different sites, each with their own category. So there you go.
That's fancy.
Easy peasy.
Easy peasy. We can do it. We can do it. Okay, so here's another one. Hi, Elsie and Rob. Recently, in my small podcast Facebook group, one of the women asked what podcast host everyone uses. I said Libsyn, of course. Another woman said another host. She then went on to say this, quote, "The other solution is better from an SEO standpoint, as well as you have your own .com to build Google rank versus sending half your traffic to Libsyn via their RSS feed," unquote. When I asked her for more information on this, she didn't respond. I then noticed a week or so later that the same woman had said a similar thing in the She Podcast group. I noticed Crystal responded that there is no difference between using Libsyn or the other host from an SEO standpoint. So I ask you, I wanted to ask you both if you might explore this topic and clear up the misconceptions in an upcoming episode of the feed. Why would this woman be saying this? The other thing is I'm confused with around this conversation is what SEO benefit do you get from the actual RSS feed? I have my show notes on my own WordPress website, and I use the Yoast SEO plugin. I get quite a lot of traffic this way. My SEO rankings seem really good. Do you also get SEO rankings from the RSS feed too? Or am I misunderstanding this completely? Hope to hear back from you soon. Name redacted.
Oh, I hate this myth.
Oh, wait.
I think you're going to need
you need a, what do you call it? What do you call that?
A soapbox.
Here we go.
Yeah, pull me over that soapbox.
Okay, here we go.
there's this myth that the RSS feed somehow bestows magical SEO power onto your website. It does not. This myth, as near as I can tell, comes from two places. One is back from 10 plus years ago when having a blog RSS feed would help in getting you new updated content, make it easier for Google to tell it was there to scrape it. But an RSS 2.0 feed does not positively or negatively impact your site's SEO, according to SEO experts I've talked with. And two, where this myth came from, the other site place, is this myth is also pushed by another host to scare people into thinking it does help. There is no proof of it helping. None. Zip. Nada. Nothing. Bubkiss. I don't know of any SEO experts saying it helps. And if they are saying it helps, they're not an SEO expert. Google typically does not say either way 100% what does and does not help with SEO, and they are always changing things, but their bots are not scraping RSS 2.0 feeds for SEO, again, as nearly any SEO expert can tell you. Plus, the whole myth that RSS feeds help SEO does not even come close to passing the sniff test either. Google SEO is meant to give value to sites with real traffic, real live eyeballs, someone that can click on a link so they can put the ads on the site so they can make money. They want sites where people go with a browser and stick around. RSS feeds do not bring real users. They bring essentially bots, that which is what an aggregator is in the Google's eyes. They just ping the feed. Real users are not going to your site because of the RSS feed at all. People do not look at feeds with browsers. Hence, there is no opportunity for Google to monetize. Hence, an RSS 2.0 feed is a non-entity for Google SEO. At this point, some of you are probably saying, but Rob, you and the SEO experts could be wrong. Or if you work for or have been brainwashed by another company that pushes the above SEO narrative, you are saying I am wrong. So to that end, this whole misguided myth, I was able to find this comment from Google's own John Mueller. Quote, if you are looking for a ranking boost by having an RSS feed, that's not going to happen. This RSS feed is really something we see as more of a technical help to crawl and index the content a bit better. There's no direct ranking boost for the website itself, unquote. Again, that is not from some random person on a Facebook group or someone trying to sell their service. That is from Google's John Mueller, who is webmaster trends analyst at Google. So yeah, he knows a few things about this. As Adam Savage would say, myth busted.
Myth
and
busted.
And drops mic and walks away.
Oh. Well, you have to watch out when you get off of your soapbox. Yes. So now we, and you know, in addition to all of this stuff, we also had Crystal, our own support Crystal, who comes at this from the perspective of a technician. So she is going to be very clear with you, and she's going to actually outline a couple of other things that I'm sure you guys weren't quite aware of when it comes to using Libsyn. Let's say there's a lot of you guys who don't have a WordPress website at all or any other website, you know, maybe Joomla or Wix or whatever, and you are using everything via Libsyn, and you're kind of even never thought about this, and you thought, well, maybe I'm just bringing Libsyn all the juice and I'm not getting any. So Crystal's going to answer those questions for you right now.
This is Crystal from Libsyn Support. Thanks so much for your question. There is a common misconception that your RSS feed must be on your domain in order to maintain 100% control over your feed. Control is usually defined as having the ability to move your RSS feed from one host to another. However, in practice, making sure you always have the ability to add the appropriate redirects to your RSS feed is what ensures you have the ability to move. Can a domain help in cases where a host suddenly shuts down with no chance to migrate? Sure. But hosting your feed with a host like Libsyn or even Blueberry would make that unlikely. It's doubtful either one of us is going away anytime soon or would ever just suddenly shut down. The other argument that occasionally comes up is maintaining SEO by having your RSS feed on the same domain as your site. RSS feeds are not indexed the same way as a website is in Google, which, let's face it, is the one search engine we're all concerned about. Nearly 10 years ago, Google came out with a policy of not displaying RSS or Atom feeds in their search results. They do attempt to make podcast feeds available by looking for the enclosure. However, their entire aim is to remove duplicated content from results. Have you ever searched Google for a podcast and found the RSS feed instead of their website? What you should be focusing on when considering SEO is what I like to call controlling your top 10. When you do a search in Google for you or your show using keywords you think a user should be using to find you, your website, your Facebook page, your Twitter page, your YouTube channel, your show in iTunes, all those things should be right up there on the first page of results. So I've just given you every reason why using the Libsyn feed isn't such a bad idea. Some of our top producers, some of the highest level producers in the iTunes store, use the Libsyn feed URL. They obviously haven't been bothered by this lack of SEO. But another piece worth mentioning is there's also no reason why you cannot use your domain with Libsyn. This is an advanced feature which I do recommend most producers discuss with support so we can help you with the configuration, but it is found under Settings, Show Settings. By using a custom domain with us, you can fully brand your feed URL, avoid any assumed liability with using the Libsyn feed URL, and ease your mind with regards to any assumed issues associated with SEO. If you have a website on your domain already, then you wouldn't point that root domain to Libsyn. Instead, you could use a subdomain. Let's say, for example, you have the show My Awesome Show hosted at Libsyn, and you have a website set up at www.myawesomeshow.com, and you want to use a custom domain with your show at Libsyn to brand that URL. You can set up a subdomain such as radio.myawesomeshow.com or podcast.myawesomeshow.com, etc. Using a custom domain would make your feed URL, for example, podcast.myawesomeshow.com/RSS. Coming back around, there's no real SEO hit you are going to take by using a Libsyn URL. You always have and always will have the ability to move your feed from Libsyn if ever you wish, and our support team will help you do it. And even if that doesn't satisfy your concerns, you can use your own domain with Libsyn, making the argument, quite frankly, moot. Libsyn and Blueberry, PowerPress, are on equal footing with regards to any SEO or control argument. I hope this helps. Happy podcasting.
Thank you very much, Crystal. We very much learned.
And doing it less
soap opera
with adrenaline than I did mine.
Exactly. She was very calm, as you can see.
Yes.
Very calm and focused. Very neutral. So there you have it. I hope that you guys are clear now. That was a lesson in SEO from all kinds of perspectives.
I would just ask why someone's trying to scare you into that FUD of the myth that SEO is you're hurting your SEO on your site. Just ask them why they're trying to scare you next time someone says that.
Yeah, I think at least from, because the other post was posted on the She Podcast website. I honestly think that this is one of those cases where you feel that you have information that other people don't know about. It's kind of like the way that I come into, you know, if somebody says like, how do I get into New and Noteworthy? Like, my 8 weeks are almost up. What should I do? And then I come in there and I go, you guys, that is a myth, you know, and I get very angry because I have this extra information that most people aren't getting. And I think that that's the point of view that she was getting from, but she never had anybody like debunk her on it. So now we have proper information. There you have it. So Name Redacted, take it away.
Yep.
Take the information away and spread it far and wide. All right. So here we go with our next email. Hi, Robin Elsie. Couple of quick things. First, I've switched over to the new podcast pages this morning. Yay, very nice. Think I'll be using this over the somewhat clunky blogger page I've been using since the dawn of the show. And it looks great on mobile, too. My compliments to the team. Also, on the recent The Feed episodes, you've talked about the idea of suggesting to Apple of a feature in iTunes based on a big upcoming guest. I've got one coming up soon that I wanted to run past you. Not quite sure if this is big enough, but I figured it doesn't hurt to inquire. Austin Evans of YouTube. Focus mostly on technology. Maybe you're personally familiar. Well, will be my guest for an upcoming episode. Austin has done nearly 2,000 videos and has almost 2 million subscribers, and I personally haven't heard him on a podcast before, although I guess it's likely he has been. Now I'm recording on Friday evening, so I know it's not done yet, but I'll be willing to hold on to it if you feel this might be something that iTunes might be interested in featuring. Let me know your thoughts, and thank you in advance for your help. This is from Dan from the Podcast Digest.
Well, Dan, what I did was I went into iTunes and I searched for Austin Evans, and sadly there was a pretty big list of episodes Austin has actually been a guest on. So folks, before you email me to get your episode featured, make sure you go into iTunes and search to see if your guest or potential guest has been on other podcasts before. Because if they've been on multiple ones, I won't be submitting it to iTunes to be featured, just because they're going to say no, because they're going to do what I just did. Again, it also needs to be someone with masses that the masses have heard of, and not someone popular in just a niche. So if your mom, your sister, your cousin, your brother, if they haven't heard of the person, chances are it's not going to get featured. There has to be something either from a celebrity standpoint, or it has to be something related to a date.
So that's fairly clear.
But Dan, we featured you.
We featured you. We talked about you. So maybe if anybody wants to hear Austin Evans being, you know, interviewed very soon, go check that out. Yeah, especially if you know him. Mm-hmm. I don't. But here we go. Okay, here's the next one. Hi, all. I'm just starting to dive into the tutorials and rewatch the Lipson Live About podcast pages. While I haven't deployed anything just yet, let me tell you, this could be a major game changer for people who manage a lot of different shows and domains and WordPress instances, not just the person who wants a simple solution. I'm going to implement the podcast pages on a few of my smaller shows. Right now, I've got subdomains and mini sites for each of my shows. This could be a real easy solution for network managers to have one main page for their show that they have on their own WordPress, for example. And then instead of subdomains that you have to worry about with numerous WordPress updates, you would just have one to worry about. With 19 subdomains and 19 different WordPress installs, that's 19 different points of failure or points of entry for hackers on my server. Cutting down on points of failure makes resolving issues that much easier. And this is, he says, impressed thus far. Regards, Jason Bryant, founder of Matt Talk Online and Matt Talk Podcast Network. And yes, our own Olympic announcer.
Well, thank you, Jason, for the feedback. And folks, if you want to see what the new pages look like, if you haven't seen it yet, you can go to thefeed.libsyn.com and you can see the new page, because we're eating the dog food.
Yeah, it's very nice to share that now. Yes. Yeah, it's absolutely, yes. It's very clean and clear. And actually, if you guys want to come and hang out in social media with us, even if you don't follow us at all, go ahead and go over to facebook.com/Lipson or twitter.com/Lipson. I have asked on Friday for people to share links or screenshots of their new podcast pages site, so that you can watch how everybody else is doing it. Because I think now there's been a few that have been put out there, and it's just nice to be able to see each other's stuff like that. So check that out and share yours. Hey, that's another thing. Share yours. So there's going to be a couple of threads going on Twitter and on Facebook. So if you do have one, it's probably easier for you to follow that on Facebook if you want to go check it out and put your link in a screenshot or something like that. Okay, here we go. Good generic time of the day, March 3rd, is the 8th anniversary of Tapping Q&A Podcast. I'm doing a few promotional things to promote this fact. Is there an easy way to get the total runtime of all the episodes in the show archives without having to get each timestamp one at a time and then add them up? Because the show is educational in nature, I would love to say that in 8 years we provided X hours of free training and information. Thank you. And this is from Gene.
Well, Gene, happy anniversary. We're actually recording on your anniversary date.
I know. Yeah, happy anniversary.
And now to answer your question, Gene, I use iTunes. I just make a playlist. I move over all my episodes into that playlist. And then iTunes shows you at the bottom the total length of all the episodes combined in that playlist.
That is genius.
It's the simplest way to do it.
That's so good. Oh my gosh.
I actually do that every year. I create a playlist saying, okay, 2014, 2015. And then I say, you know, I did this many hours last year for you guys and things like that. So I've been doing that each year just to look at how many episodes I released in a calendar year.
That's fantastic. Well, there you have it. I did not give you that answer because I did not think of it whatsoever. So that's why we have Rob on the show. All right. Good generic time of the day, Elsie and Rob. Thanks for a great show. I always put it at the top of my playlist wherever it comes out. I love Castro too, Elsie. Uh-huh. I've been podcasting for 3 years, hosting with Lipson the whole time. I couldn't be happier. My questions are about autoplay or not on my self-hosted site. When the custom player first came out, I selected to make it autoplay so that whenever anyone visited the site, the latest episode would start playing. My thinking was, if autoplay is good enough for YouTube, why are people so prickly when it comes to podcasts? This is what happened during that year when the Libsyn player was on autoplay. My download numbers went up faster, and I must admit, that was gratifying. Number two, my bounce rates went down a lot in Google Analytics. I hadn't expected the autoplay to do anything to the bounce rate, but it did. The autoplay has been off for a year now. I turned it off because a few listeners complained about it. You, dear Rob, probably also said something to the effect that autoplay is evil. She is a fan. There is a nice big player on each episode post. I make it easy for people to play the show on my website, but they almost never do. What happened when I turned off autoplay? My stats went down. I knew that would happen. I ignored it. Download numbers made up for it within a few months in other ways. And my bounce rates went way up. The bounce rate going up, again, is a problem that I don't want to ignore. Question one, am I the only one who thinks there's a link between autoplay and better bounce rates?
Yeah, I'm gonna because you got a bunch of questions. So I'll jump in here between your questions. Otherwise, it'll get really confusing. Let's see. First, a high bounce rate may not be a bad thing. It depends on if you want people going to other places on your site or not. So if you want people to move around your site and stay at your site, obviously that bounce rate's not good. But if the whole reason is to send people elsewhere, then having a high bounce rate, you're achieving what you wanted. But if you had autoplay on one page, maybe that caused people to jump to another page on your site to try to avoid that annoying autoplay or to trying to find a page on your site that wasn't so annoying. So that could be why your bounce rate was low. They were just jumping around trying to avoid the autoplayer. But now that you listen to your husband, she had mentioned, I edited a part out there, her husband and other listeners to turn off the annoying autoplay. So she turned that off. Your viewers can now look at the page they came to, click play on the player and listen at their control, and then leave your site to go to one of the links in your show notes, or better yet, to subscribe to you in iTunes. So there could be reasons why the bounce rate's higher, and it might not be bad reasons. All right, Ellie, you got a question two.
All right, question two. Is it possible that podcast subscribers and organic Google traffic are completely different audiences? I think I get most new podcast subscribers through word of mouth and rarely through Google traffic. How can I verify that? Oh, goodness, that's a tough one.
Okay, so is it possible that podcast subscribers and organic traffic are completely different audiences? Not only is it possible, it is exactly that. Podcast listeners, for the most part, are not Google traffic at all. There's your answer. We'll get in. I'll answer this in more detail in the other question. So go to the next one.
Okay, question three. Shouldn't the main purpose of episode posts on my self-hosted site be to get random visitors to stay on the page long enough to hear the show and decide if they want to subscribe?
Only you can determine the main purpose of your site. I would say for me, that is one of the purposes of the site, but definitely not the main purpose. My main purpose of my episode posts are to give my current listeners a list of links to articles and apps that I talked about to make their life easier when I mention something and they later on go back and find the link to what I mentioned. That's my main purpose for my site, and without a doubt, is to service my listeners.
Yeah, that's a really great, before we continue here too, that's a really great focus because that's essentially, that's what we do for the feed as well. Mm-hmm. It is primarily, I want you to go back so that you can get the links of the things that we've discussed, especially if you hear, you know, people really like to hear each other's promos and they want to link back to that. They often tell me that I mess things up and it's not going where they're supposed to go. So there's that. So I know that people are linking through. And that's actually how I also consume the information. I have seen other sites that work very well in a different way, but what happens is it's not a direct transcript of a podcast, but is a very focused blog post, which includes, you know, all of the key things like header tags, bullet points, deeper conversations around specific, paragraphs that you're addressing something. So when you go in there, there is a wealth of information that has been very focused on somebody reading it. So the copy itself is the most important thing. That's a whole other way of getting people to subscribe to your show. So it basically would be, here's a fantastic blog post of this, all of this information. And then, hey, by the way, I have a podcast and here's the link. Or if you want to listen to me talk about this further, here is the player. Here is a link to the show if you want to subscribe in the future. So that's a whole other thing, so that you're basically at that time, you are servicing people who happen to land on your show, on your website, rather than people who are already podcast listeners. Okay, so do you want to continue here?
Yeah, to what? Yeah.
All right, so here we go. And this is again from the email. Another couple of data points. In 3 years, my show has had 360,000 plus downloads, whereas my site has only had 183,000 unique visitors. I need to get better at optimizing my site, which is why I'm asking about this. Thank you so much for any comments or thoughts you may have. Best, and this is from Annie. Join us in France Travel Podcast.
Well, Annie, thank you for all this. And I'm going to say something many will disagree with. Podcasters overvalue the websites. Way, way overvalue it. The larger the show, the lower the percentage of plays at the podcaster's website. Someone like Dan Carlin will get well, well below 1% of his plays at a site. That said, the smaller and more niche a show is, the more relevant the site becomes. So if you have a small show, it's about a niche, then yes, the site's going to become more relevant. But still, even then, iTunes and the podcast aggregator apps will be where the majority of your audience consumes your show. It's just, will it be 59% or 99%? And that's going to depend on the size of your show and the niche of your topic. To me, I've always had these because it's made me think, okay, what are my main goals of my site? And these are the main goals of my site in order of preference. And I'm talking about here today in iOS or back in the day, Podcast 101. One, giving links to articles for my current listeners. That's something I mentioned in a previous episode. Two, the ability for my show's site to be discovered by Google. Three, giving links on where to go and subscribe and listen to my show where you, as a listener, already listen to content. So if you come and you see my show and you like to be on TuneIn, here's a link to TuneIn. If you want to consume on iHeartRadio, here's a link to iHeartRadio, that kind of thing. Four, the ability to listen to my latest episode easily. And then five, the ability to listen to a specific episode easily. So that's kind of how I prioritize the purpose of my site. Everybody's going to be a little different. Some people, the podcast is there to support the site. Other people, the site's there to support the podcast. Kind of have to look at where your priorities are in that area.
Yeah. And, you know, you can optimize your show notes to solve both of those problems if that's what you want to do. You can do that. Or you can just simply let your show notes be your show notes as they currently are and then have a complementary or supplementary strategy, which is all about blogging, which is another thing. So, and you know, you can actually do that now with the podcast pages as well, meaning from Libsyn, whether, you know, you are host, like just having your website with us, right? Or if you have a WordPress, Wix or Joomla sites or Squarespace or whatever, and then do have maybe, you don't have to do a lot of it, maybe just a couple of blog posts a month that are really keyed in, they're really keyword rich to bring people, like for your show specifically, that would be so great. I mean, you can write a couple of blog posts that are really just around certain episodes that you've already covered. Maybe you've, you know, talked about like best places to eat or some of the top three places to go to in France, or like some hidden treasures that you've encountered, something like that, where you've already done this in a podcast format and then optimize it as a blog post because somebody didn't listen. You could do that just for your top podcast or the things that you feel people are most looking for. And that will actually get you a lot more SEO juice rather than just with the podcast specific stuff. Are we ready to move on, Rob? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay. So here is, yes, go ahead.
I'll do this one. Okay. This one's from Jim Harold of the Paranormal Podcast and other podcasts. And this is via Facebook. Jim said the following, quote, "Though I'm a longtime audio podcaster, 2005, I've had a video podcast in the past and have played quite a bit with other video platforms like Blab, RIP, you know, rest in peace there, Wirecast, and others. Impressed so far with what I'm seeing from BeLive.tv," unquote. So if folks haven't checked this out, BeLive.tv, their tagline is, "Engage your audience on Facebook Live with an amazing live broadcast." So it looks to be piggybacking on Facebook Live. They have a Q&A support for viewers, which in my mind is the only legit reason to do a live show. You're actually looking for live interaction with the audience, so they seem to have that well handled. So if you're looking for another service for the live, if you used to be a blab.fm person, you know, they're dead, maybe you want to take a look at believe.tv.
I'm going to have to take a look at it, even though I suck at
this. You know, honestly, I put this in here just for you.
Did you?
I was like, oh. Yeah, I was like, oh, Elsie might be interested in this. Yeah. I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot. Although, you know, for my side of things, it's like running something that is optimized for very low bandwidth is the way I like to rock it. So what do we have here, Rob? What's our next thing?
Oh, I saw this one come through. Pod Rover, collect and share your podcast reviews through their app. So they have an app now.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to see all those things that people are saying about you, and you can do it, find it right from an app and easily now, and same time, they say, quote, the description of the app is, "Save time collecting your podcast reviews. We automatically collect all the podcast reviews for you so that you can browse them easily and be notified of new ones. Basically, you're going to save a lot of time. Each review has a dedicated page that you can easily share with your audience on social media. And we also build a weekly report so that you can stay on top of your reviews and monitor trends. So if you use that, make sure you share with us your one-star review and how that made you feel."
And how, exactly. We've been missing those.
I know.
We've been missing those. And, you know, also a really quick plug for our friend Daniel Lewis, who also has a service like this, not quite with an app, but My Podcast Reviews, if you want to check him out as well. He can also gather that stuff and have it go into your email box. Now, you know what just came up to me when I was thinking about this is the obsession that people, like, again, another plug for apps. People really like apps. Like, they just want apps in front of them. And so having your reviews to obsess about in your hand is probably not good for you, but you want it. And that's probably one of the biggest things that we get asked for Libsyn a lot. People want, like, an app just for them to check stats. I'm always like,
We haven't made that app because we like you.
I know. It's just crazy. So anyway, yeah, people like apps. I don't know. Yeah, anyway. All right. So, Rob, do we have any kind of stats to talk about this week?
Yes.
All right.
Yes, we do. Let us now get into the median and mean numbers to see how your show measures up. The median and mean numbers are based on episodes released in the month of January with downloads measured until the end of February. So on average, each file was about 45 days old. The median number for January was 204, up from 200 in December. The adjusted mean or average, where I throw out the top 0.5% and any files 3 or less downloads, the adjusted mean was 2892. That's up from 2737. In December, and that was that 2892 is the highest we have ever had. The previous high was last month, so now that's six back-to-back record months in a row.
Wow!
I expected January numbers to actually drop with all the new shows that came in. So maybe that drop will be in February when the new shows in January actually start releasing episodes. So maybe I was one month off on
I
that.
See. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
It could be.
So maybe when people start actually releasing episodes in February, that'll cause the numbers to drop. We'll see and we'll find out. But
awesome.
10.9% of all downloads were in the 5K range or greater for downloads. That's the magical number that some advertisers look for downloads for campaigns. That 10.9% is also an all-time high, breaking the previous record from December. And here are some real numbers to measure up against and to put things in perspective. If your episodes are getting over 204 downloads per episode after 30 days, you are better than half the shows. If you're getting more than 1,800, you're better than 80% of the shows. If you're getting more than 5,700, you're better than 90%. More than 14,000, you're better than 95%. Better than 38,000, you're better than 98%. Better than 80,000, and you are better than 99% of the shows out there. Those numbers are up compared to previous months. That said, again, I do expect new shows from January to influence the February numbers, and we'll see if next month the numbers drop. But I thought that would happen last month, so could be wrong again.
Who knows? That would be really interesting. Now I'm very intrigued. All right, so I think we're done with that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on to where have we been. So you guys, the very first all-women's podcasters roundtable happened on Friday, March 3rd. I believe it all went well because through time and space.
I'm going to guess that Ray was not on that episode.
No, he wasn't. Actually, this is a truly all-women's show. So Crystal ran the Google Hangout because she was my steady bandwidth companion, knower of all things troubleshooting while you're on live. I trust her with my life when it comes to that stuff. Myself, Carly Nemo from Carlosophies and Radcasters. She is a podcast consultant in Australia. She has a school for podcasters as well with a little bit of an edge leaning towards women podcasters. Awesome, awesome woman. We had Amanda Dowdy from The Great Beer Adventure, who does a lot of podcasting on the go. At bars. Barbara Edelman from How You Can Save the World, who wants to be better at podcasting on the go. And basically, this entire podcast episode was about taking your podcast to go. And Carly also, for her podcast, she does a lot of podcasting basically at the beach. So so we had a lot of different types of conversation happening. If you guys want to check it out, check the link in the show notes. And I do believe you can also find it over at podcastersroundtable.com/archives. So there you have it. And now on to PodFest and PodFusion.
So talk about PodFest and PodFusion. How'd it go?
So PodFusion was really great. I mean, it was the first time that we've ever done anything like this. Jess and I did, and we did a lot of interactive stuff. We made people do, I made them do stretches. So that was fun. because it was kind of out of the box, they did a lot of recording on their own. We did a lot of different exercises that included them having to basically tell a story on stage as well. They had to record a podcast manifesto by the end of the experience and whatnot. So it seemed like we had a lot of people that had fun in there. And it was about, I would say, about 60-40, possibly maybe 65-35. Female to male, which is great for us. So we had a mix of sexes and excitement, and it wasn't one of those things that you sat down and sort of learned, which was a pro and also a con for some people, because some people don't like to be asked to do much of anything but sit back and consume. So there's that. But hey, you know what? It was a whole new experience, so we're happy to get that. And PodFest as a whole, it was very good too. There were so many like old type, you know, independent podcasters or not old school, I would say old school podcasters there that were very supportive of all the newbies that were there. It was incredible, inspiring, very down to earth. What I was very surprised at is that there were a lot of people at PodFest who really, really, really had no idea they wanted a podcast, and then they wanted a podcast now, and they didn't have any information. So the biggest question we asked was, again, the ultimate question of like, why do we need a podcast host? So that was like probably a key question that we answered a lot. And it wasn't like, well, these are the differences between all of us host people, but really was like, there was no understanding of what a host was or what an RSS feed was and how come I can't just put all my stuff on iTunes.
Right.
So, yeah.
I have people tell me, yeah, I host my podcast on iTunes.
Yeah.
No, you don't.
No, you don't. No, you don't. So
and
that
people
was...
arguing with me. Yes, I do. Absolutely do.
Absolutely, I do. It's there. So there's that. But also another thing that's really great is that having our table there with all the podcast cards there, where all of you guys that sent your cards over to Rob, I got a chance to kind of like organize. And I did organize. You have to understand, the first pictures that were taken, I had been doing Pod Fusion. I'm blaming it on Dave. And then we get a little anal. But you know what we have to, and so people discover podcasts that way. Do you have any insight into that, Rob?
Well, do you want to read the one from Christina?
Yeah, so we had one from Christina. Christina posted this on the She Podcast page. She said, a quick shout out to Libsyn. I have gotten a couple of emails from a few new fans learning about my podcast at PodFest. What a nice surprise. But I wasn't at PodFest. How did that happen? Because they picked up my business card at the Libsyn booth. Rob had some extras from the last conference, I guess, and put them out. They really work hard to try to help make their customers successful. Thanks, Libsyn. Yay.
Yes. Well, technically, I didn't put them out. I just packed them in the goodie box
yes,
and sent them out to
yes,
you.
Yes, I packed them. Yes, I put them out.
Which I forgot to put the chocolates in. So PodFest people blame Rob. I didn't put the good
well,
chocolates in the box.
Well, we had some kisses, Hershey's kisses okay. That went by pretty really quickly. But Christina's podcast is The Art of Manufacturing.
Picturing. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So.
And you would be surprised how many people stop at the booths and not knowing what podcasting is, but just fascinated. I mean, this was what I had happen at Proclaim. They were just fascinated by all the business cards. And they would like, what are these? And then I'd start explaining what podcasts are and ask what their hobby is. And then usually I can pick out a couple of cards on the table for them to take with them to go start consuming podcasts. I have that happen at every show.
Yep.
And I also get people picking up all the cards, looking for people to interview. So
yeah,
you never know
that.
Who's going to pick up a card. You know, someone picks up that card and their show takes off and your show takes off because their show took off. So
that's
very
cool.
Cards.
Now yeah. There's one thing that I think we're going to have to optimize, Rob, when the next time we go to an event is to get, especially if it's not necessarily for Proclaim. I don't think Proclaim would have been an issue, but for something like Podcast Movement that's coming up here soon is to have another little sign on the table that says this is for Libsyn podcasters only.
Yes.
Because now we're getting, and it's not that we are like against other people. It's actually less about having people who host their podcast somewhere else and more about people who are putting stuff down that are not podcasters at all. And they are not serving podcast. Like they're not an editor. I could understand an editor putting their cards there or something like that. But like somebody who's like a fitness coach that doesn't have a podcast or consultant that doesn't have a podcast. That was
I had one person one time that she put down a whole bunch of stuff on the table and she was hosting at a competitor and I was like, you know, it said this stuff is for Libsyn. She walked away. I just took it all, threw it away. So I don't know. $20 worth of her stuff.
I actually did that. I did that for somebody, but I did that for somebody. Again, it wasn't a podcaster. It was a woman who didn't have a podcast, mm-hmm. but who was some kind of coach that did other stuff. And I was like, number one, you didn't even ask. Number two, you're in the front and you have the largest amount of, I was like, I grabbed it and threw it in the trash.
Oh, yeah. And I love the ones that will come and just move stuff out of the way.
Yeah.
Dead center.
My goodness. So oh, yeah. I think we need to have a sign about that because that's not cool. So anyway, you were at Proclaim 617. Actually, you were like literally, you arrived just like
on
a
Monday.
Day after we left, almost.
You left Saturday. I arrived Monday. Yep.
Actually, I left Sunday.
Oh, you left Sunday. So you dropped the box off on Sunday. Yeah.
Well, actually, get this story. This story was that actually one of our podcasters dropped it off. She was heading out of town. She's like, I'll do it. I'll take it.
Oh, okay.
Well, thanks.
Well, thank you. And I got the box there and I got the banner and the cards and I put the stuff out. But yeah, it was great. And no lie, I'm standing there at the Proclaim booth. And someone comes and they point at the Star Trek podcast, Trek Geeks podcast card, and they go, "That's the best card on the table." And I go, "Yes, I agree." So yeah,
oh
but I did have the Star Trek podcast cards out, and I had, I had obviously all the religious ones and some of the business and the clean podcasts. I had their cards out.
Awesome. No, it actually is a really great way to explain things about podcasting, especially for people who don't know. So, go ahead.
Well, in the Proclaim show, I should say, it was a really good show. Saw a bunch of different podcasters. So Sean, shout out to you and others, many others that came by the booth. And it was fun. And I always like it because I get this. I've been creating video for 8 years. Why should I do a podcast? And I'm like, well, tell me about your video. And they're like, well, it's me and I'm talking to someone else. And I'm like, well, strip out the audio. Like, oh, well, I don't know. I'm like, here's very simple. If you're creating video and you can go in the next room, turn the volume up on the TV and get the same message and meaning out of that video by listening from another room, not being able to see the screen, make it an audio podcast. And there's quite a few that I talked to at this show that were video folks on the evangelical side that now are thinking of doing stripping out the audio and doing an audio podcast. So that was
awesome. Good. That's the best way to sell it. Absolutely. Okay, all so right. Where are we going?
Where are we going? I will be speaking on a panel at Social Media Marketing World in San Diego at the end of March. I'll be on the panel with Paul Culligan, Gary Leland, and infamous Gary Leland from Gary Leland Day in Arlington, and then John Lee Dumas, who does not have his own day in Arlington. And now I have the day and time of the event, which is the title is How to Monetize Your Podcast, the Panel Discussion, Thursday, March 23rd. And the time is from 4:10 p.m. Pacific to 4:55 p.m. Pacific.
Oh.
So there you go. Hopefully, if you're going to Social Media Marketing World, you will be at our panel session. You'll come say hi before or after. Let's see. I'll also be speaking at NAB in Las Vegas in April. I have a panel session that I'm moderating with myself, Rob Greenlee from Spreaker, Todd Cochran from Raw Voice, Blueberry, and Rob McCracken from Scripps, Midroll, Stitcher. And it will be on Wednesday, April 26th from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. local time in room N253. That room will be where the podcast sessions are all day long. So they're going to have multiple podcast sessions in that room. Cool. So yeah, so it's more than one session this year at NAB. Now we have a whole track for one day. And then hopefully next year at NAB, there'll be a podcast pavilion maybe even. So which we're working them. And thank you, Josh, over there for all you're doing on NAB moving towards podcasting.
Awesome.
And then the big show, of course, for the year will be Silver Sponsor at Podcast Movement. That will be in August. And you can book your room now for Podcast Movement. So snap, get to that room booked.
Mm-hmm.
If you can. I mean, hopefully they still have some rooms available. Per Podcast Movement, if you did not submit your session to talk at Podcast Movement, out of station, that train is now.
Yes, it is. Bye-bye.
Yeah, it moved. Your only chance now to speak at Podcast Movement, if you didn't submit, is to be one of those annoying people that grabs the mic and then doesn't give it back
hijacks
the session. So if you want to be a hijacker with nonsensical ramblings about somehow promoting your show or some other weird thing, then
goodness.
By all means, don't be a hijacker.
Don't be a hijacker. No. Yeah. Yeah. I think I'm going to have a really cool session over.
I've had sessions hijacked before.
Have you? You know what? Actually, it was during Pod Fusion where I had Leanne Dolan, you know, from the Satellite Sisters. We gave her the Pioneer Award for the She Podcast Awards there. She's so fantastic. I adore her. So anyway, she came over to Pod Fusion. She's hanging out there. And then in one of our breaks, she came up to him. She goes, "You are brave." And I said, "Why? Why am I so brave?" And she's like, "You are giving them their mic." Because when people had questions, I would run around the room and give people the mic. And I have to say, there was a time when somebody grabbed the mic, she leaned back, she crossed her legs, and she said, "Let me tell you something about myself." And I was like,
oh no.
Oh my goodness.
I had a crazy guy one time grab the mic. It was at Podcast Expo. Blog World Expo.
Yeah.
I was speaking. And he grabbed the mic and he got the mic and he just starts going on this rant and he's talking about my cadence and how I speak and this. And I finally said, I go, "I'm going to answer your question on the next slide. So why don't you go ahead and give that mic to the person behind you? But I'm going to get to your question here in a second." He didn't actually even have a question.
He was
dumbfounded. I confused him and he handed the mic away.
Uh-huh.
So it worked.
I'm telling you, some people, I don't even understand it. Yeah. So anywho.
All right. Anyway. I submitted mine, so fingers. For those that did submit, by the way, Podcast Movement said they'll send out and let people know no later than March 31st if you're picked. So fingers crossed. And let's see. We'll be at LA Podfest in October, the 6th, 7th, and 8th. Tickets are available now. Go to lapodfest.com if you want to go to that event. As always, if you have an organization or event and need someone to speak about podcasting, just email me, rob@libsyn.com. We have an incredible team.
I know.
And
speaking of incredible team, I forgot that. Oh my gosh, you guys, you have to go over to the Libsyn page, Facebook.com/live. And you, if you have not watched Dave Jackson's keynote, is amazing. It's just, and of course you'll hear me laughing the whole time, which I think is a little bit annoying, but, you guys, you have to watch him. He did a phenomenal job.
So you hijacked the laugh track.
Unfortunately, yes, but I'll put a link in the show notes down here. You guys, you start right now. You finished, you've been with us for so long already. Go watch his, you got it. And you have to watch it. And he's in spandex here. I got you on that one. So you're going to have to watch spandex to see. It's so good. It is so good. I knew if I said that, you guys are going to have to do it. So anyway, okay, that is it. If you have any feedback to tell us, please email thefeed@libsyn.com. Thefeed@libsyn.com. You can call us at 412-573-1934. You can also download our free app for both iOS and Android. Go to those respective app stores, search for Libsyn, LIBSYN, and you can find us right away. Just download the app and you can consume our content. You can send us feedback directly from there and we'd love to hear it. Last choice, speakpipe.com/thefeed. You can send us voice feedback that way. As you heard today, it's so nice to get audio feedback from you guys just asking these questions. It really like brings more richness than just Rob and myself talking the whole time because that's crazy. So we hope to listen to you guys, your feedback very soon, and we'll talk to you guys in a couple of weeks.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.